talk about Sarai and Hagar today. Okay, and I'm calling this year defending Sarai, because as we'll see from the Pesukim, she doesn't come off so good. Right, she doesn't look so good, and we're going to try to find ways to make her look a little bit better. Okay, and I think that it all depends on your perspective and which parshan you're looking at, and whose side you really want to take. So we're going to start in Lech Lecha, of course, Perek Tet Zayin, chapter 16. This isn't going to help me. Okay. Says the Torah, Sarai, Eshet Avram, Lo Yalda Lo. Sarai, the wife of Avram, did not give birth to him, did not bear him a son. Vila Shivcha Mitzrit Ushma Hagar. Hi, welcome. Pull up a chair. And she had an Egyptian Shivcha whose name was Hagar. Now let's just go back a second, okay? Right before this, we have what was called the Brit Ben Abitarim. In the Brit Ben Abitarim, God says to Abraham, what are you afraid of? What's the problem? Abraham says, I have no children. God pulls Abraham outside, shows him the stars, and says, you will have a lot of children. Okay, it's fair to assume that Abraham communicated this message from God to Sarai. Okay? But there's nothing's happened. She had a Shivcha Mitzrit, and whose name was Hagar. Vatomer, it's supposed to be that we'll just read this, 10-15 Sukkim. I'm going to read it, and then we'll ask some questions, and then we'll come back and discuss it, as we always do. Vatomer Sarai el Avram, Hineina atzarani Hashem biledet, Bona el Shivchati ulai ibanem imena, Vayishma Avraham lekol Sarai. Sarai said to Avraham, behold, please, God has held me back from giving birth. Please come to please take my maidservant. Perhaps I will be built up from her. And Avraham listened to the voice of Sarai.
Right. That's a little bit of lack of emuna.
Why?
Coming right off of Abraham having the conversation.
With God?
Yeah.
No.
It's
why?
Because it doesn't say who's going to have the children.
Right? That's right. He's going to have children. It doesn't say Sarah is going to give you a child.
I think it's her hishtadlut.
Ah, very nice. Right? Okay. But listen to the words she says. It's very interesting. And we'll see if our person points to that as well. Okay. Hine na atzaran Hashem yiledet. It shouldn't say hine. What's the word na mean?
Please.
Please. Does please fit there?
No.
Okay.
Now.
Now, what?
As now.
As now? Hine, behold, now? Na means now?
Yeah.
Why? Well, who knows? Okay. How do they translate it?
Sometimes.
Now? Well, they translate it as now because please doesn't make sense. Okay. Bona. What's bona?
Come, please.
How do they translate
please,
it?
But please would make
consort
sense.
Consort now.
Consort now? Bona now? Okay.
Wouldn't please make sense if he was kind of not wanting to? If he was like against it.
Correct.
He would say, please do it.
Correct.
He's trying to urge her.
Correct.
Legally
who's
entitled.
She's trying to urge him.
He is legally entitled, according to the...
Quarter Hammer Abbey. I knew you were going to throw that out there. Okay, yeah.
He's right. Legally entitled if they're married 10 years and she doesn't have a child.
She divorced?
No, to take a concubine.
Okay.
They had to wait a certain amount of time.
10 years.
Well, by the way, this is codified in halacha as well.
This is more than 10 years.
What?
Today.
It's codified in halacha. It's not really kept. It's very, very rare. Only in the movies. You know? You know, have you done that movie like that? Dushpiza, what's Dushpiza like that? 10 years, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that like mentioned in the movie?
I don't remember the details. But
okay.
Yeah.
Ula ibane amimena. What is ibane, perhaps? Ibane.
Builded.
Ibane.
What?
I will be built. And this is what Rina's referring to. That it was common, it was acceptable to have a surrogate motherhood. That's simply what we're talking about. That this woman is the bearer of the child, but she is not the mother of the child. Ibane, I will be built from her. I give you my shivcha. Remember, what is the shivcha? Shivcha is the maid. It's not the maid. What is she? What is she? No, shivcha. In the sense of?
Property.
Property. She's my property. So I give you my property. She is, you know what I'm saying? She is just like, instead of me, you're using my womb, you know, it happens to be in her, okay? And I will be built through her.
I don't agree.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think that she thought that in, I mean, based on Rashi, that she thinks that in the zchut of giving her shivcha to Abraham...
Let's read the words before we get to Rashi.
Ibaneh, from Ben.
Ibaneh, mimena. I will be built up, mimena. From her. Doesn't Rachel do the same thing?
Sort of.
Doesn't Rachel do the same thing? Ibaneh mimena?
Ibaneh gam anochi mimena.
Right, okay. Vayishma Avram the kol sarai. You think the plan was...
If you're talking, let's go with Shira's, it's her hishtadlus.
Yeah.
Her hishtadlus means that maybe she... No woman ever gives up on the hope of having her own child.
Whoa. So you think... By the way, you should meet Sforno for a minute. What does Sforno say? What did she say? Ulai ibaneh mimena? No. What did she say? Read it. Read it out loud. Okay.
Ulai kinat hayerech to orer hakoach lefulota v'itchazek la'asik.
What does she want? What does that mean?
She wants her womb to be jealous.
Correct. Maybe if Hagar is able to bear children, my womb will wake up and say, "Whoa, let's get going." Okay, and that will be able make her able to have a child. Ibaneh. So he's reading Ibaneh the same way you are. I'm not reading Ibaneh that way. I'm reading Ibaneh. I will be built up through her. And isn't that the code of Hammurabi? Isn't that the idea?
Yeah, that's
that it's
it.
Her child, okay, that the child is called.
What about Emunah? She's still Sarai, and she's still...
Emunah for what? Emunah for what?
She herself will have
there are many different ways to have
no
children.
No woman ever gives up on
there are many different ways
child.
For a woman to have children ever. In the world. There are many different ways.
Granted, but okay? I think behind every woman who doesn't have children is always... the hope that she will. Because no matter how... according to
the hope that she will.
The hope that she will. But isn't this... Shira, what did you mean by her hishtadlus?
No, I was just saying that she feels there's a promise there that was made to Avram,
uh-huh.
and she wants to make it happen, and she sees it's not happening, so she's trying to work a way for it to happen. I didn't think it through beyond...
the supernatural, the metaphysical...
What exactly her plan was, but I do see that she's making efforts.
Right. I think, why do we have to learn... We don't have to learn in a mystical sense. Why can't it just be exactly what you're saying? Maybe this is how Hashem wants it to happen. Right? Then, you know, like... And look, we really believe this. You know, of course a woman wants to have children, but sometimes if a woman isn't blessed with physical children and she adopts children, those are her children. We believe that. And that was... And though this is her mission as a parent to raise these children.
Can I ask a question, taking a step back?
No? Like, isn't that also a thing? Hold yes, you can in a second. You know, you're all looking at me like funny. Is that...
Say it again?
You were like, I know, focusing on Rachel. Okay.
No, I wasn't.
Isn't that a way of being built up? Isn't Ibaneh a way of being built up sometimes? And you have somebody else bear the child, but you raise them? You know, we have it today. Nowadays, finally, we have technological capability. Yeah. Like, I know people... who, like, you know, they hire a surrogate mother, they hire a surrogate, and she can't even use her eggs. You know what I'm saying? So is that her child? She made it happen. You know what I'm saying? Her physical child, clearly.
There are a lot of cases.
Not her egg, not her womb, no way.
But there are a lot of cases of people who've been married many years, they adopt a child, and then shortly after they have their own child.
Right, but I hope they don't adopt a child in
They naturally
adopt a child. But I hope it's not like this foreigner where they adopt a child in the hopes of having a
like they've given up hope of having their own.
I've heard of someone adopting them and having twins.
Yeah. You wanted to say something, yes, and not related to this.
Do you know how Abraham and Sarah came to be husband and wife? Was like...
Yeah, too much detail.
No, I'm wondering, that's not, like, the shidduch process wasn't part of it. Like, you know, like we know how Yitzchak, thank you, how he, you know, met his betrothed. Was the same process with Avram and Sarah because it changes the equation a little bit.
Why?
Because there's a difference between Hashem, like, putting them together as a couple and saying, this is the right woman for you, and, mm-hmm. and the children that come out of that versus, here's my maidservant and her DNA. The children that come out of that.
DNA didn't exist back then.
Well, we didn't understand DNA, but it did exist.
Ah. Actually, you're right. I agree with you totally. We'll see. Okay. Sarai. What?
Zach, we'll get an answer.
No. I don't know how. Like, I don't know who set. You want to know who set them up? I don't know. I mean, you know, saying are they beshared? Abraham and Sarah? I think so. I mean, don't we believe that Abraham and Sarah were meant for each other?
We don't know.
Isn't that like our thing? Like,
but if they have good qualities, good
presumably he only would have married somebody who also had
good qualities. I mean, no, you know the Midrash says, nefesh so b'charan, Avraham megayret ha'anashim, v'sarah megayret ha'anashim, that they have this amazing partnership, and they went to Egypt, and she supported him and saved his life. Don't, I mean, this is a part of our whole thing, Avraham and Sarah, and, you know, they're all buried in the same place next to each other. I don't know how they met, but, I mean, I'm sure it was a good shidduch. What? Right, they were related to each other. Yeah, Yiska, I mean, I think it was, you know, an arranged marriage, whatever. Okay. So, I'm just working on the Ibaneh. So, is it Ibaneh, like Desforno says, that she hoped that she herself would bear children? Or, I think the most simple shot is Ibaneh, I will build belt up, she is my maidservant, I am using her as a means to have a child.
That's what I'm... Machloket, okay.
That's... Miket Esther Shanim the Shevet Avram Be'eretz Kenan, Vatiteno Tala Avram Isha Lo Li Isha.
That's the unusual part.
That's unusual. Sarai, the wife of Avram, took Hagar Hamitzvit Shivchata. Well, all these details are important. Hagar, the Egyptian, Hagar, her servant. That's right. Miket 10 years after Avram entered Eretz Kenan.
There's your 10 years,
okay. But why 10 years after Abraham entered Eretz Canaan? Yeah. Look at Rashi for a second.
They weren't together.
Look at Rashi. No, they were together. They've been together for years. How old are they?
Old.
80, 90, whatever. Okay. No, Yishmael, one second. This is before. Yishmael had his bris at 13. So this is 13 years, 14 years before this. So he is 86, and she's 3 years younger than him or something? Some are 10 years younger than him. She's 76. They're old. Okay. 10 years, Magid says Rashi, she'en yishivat chutz la'aretz oleh lo min haminyan. All the time they were chutz la'aretz, it doesn't count. Nivishne amar lo ve'ascha l'goy gadol ad she'avo l'Eretz Yisrael, because God didn't start counting the time until they came to Eretz Yisrael. So, meaning the bracha of having children didn't go until, so she was waiting for the 10 years, and she says, after 10 years, it's not happening. Okay, so some say, the Ramban actually says, that it's not about the promise of God, but that it maybe had been about the schut of Eretz Yisrael. They had hoped that being in Eretz Yisrael was a schut that would help her change her luck, change her lot. And it didn't happen. What's that? No. Well, it's Eretz Yisrael, schut Eretz Yisrael. It's not just changing place. It's a schut of Eretz Yisrael. Mishnei Mazal isn't specifically about Israel. It's about, if it's not going in this place, you got to change it up. You got to do something else. And maybe your whole, everything will change. But here we're talking about specifically, Ramban says, no, being in Eretz Yisrael, and being there in Eretz Yisrael, you kind of have to mention that. Okay.
People that are barren should move there.
No, it didn't work for Sarah. It didn't work for her. People that are having difficulty having children should move to Israel for a different reason. Anybody tell me what that is?
It is much cheaper to do in vitro here.
That's what I was going to say. It's not much cheaper. They should come to Israel because it's part of your health care. Right? And in America, you could pay $10,000 per shot just to try. In vitro is part of healthcare.
Right.
Hearing aids are
right.
What?
That's more than $10,000.
In chutz la'aretz.
Depends where.
Yeah.
When,
whatever. It's more. It's more. I mean, no, that's insurance doesn't cover it.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are insurance,
but you can't afford it for the premium of the insurance.
Whatever. But you don't come to Israel for the money. Oh, anyway, trust Adam. What's interesting at the end of the pasuk? Vatiten ota la Avram isha. Lo li'isha. What's interesting is li'isha. Why li'isha? As a wife.
Not as a mate.
Right. Why not as a pilegesh? Why not as a concubine?
Because of the relationship you would have with your wife.
She doesn't want her to have that relationship with her husband.
But they're going to have to be intimate if she wants him to be.
Not as a wife. Not a husband and wife. Surrogate. Concubine.
Wife status is not only...
It's as if she went into her body,
right.
Took over.
In the house.
Right, correct. Remember, you're talking about status in the home. There's the wife, and then there's, like, you know, all the ancillary people. Right? This is very common. This is not unusual whatsoever. Okay, it was very common for men to have a wife and to have pilakshim as well, or even more than one wife or pilakshim. But she gave him specifically as isha, which is interesting and worth noting. The Midrash says, the isha velo lepilegesh. What? Yeah. Why does she do that?
She wants equal standing.
She
wants her to have equal standing to fulfill the promise.
Why? If I'm right, then Ibanem Yinena means that she wants...
She doesn't want Abram to resent Sarah.
Why is he going to resent Sarah?
She doesn't want...
See, it works. This is a perfect situation, it seems to be. Take him as a Pelegesh, have a child. She's like, okay, you know, like the Pelegesh, very good. She's like the childbearing one, and you know. What?
She's being self-deprecating. She doesn't want to.
Not in a minute. We'll see in a second. We'll see in a second.
Maybe she's looking ahead and she's saying that Abraham needs to have a proper relationship with someone to come after him, and it needs to be a legitimate marriage, not a Pelegesh.
But what's interesting then is you're saying she's actually marginalizing herself.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it sounds like. If you give Hagar to have the child, think of what's going to happen. Let's think realistically. What's going to happen? Let's assume that this woman has a child. And she does bear Abraham's firstborn son, and she's a full-fledged wife. What's going to happen?
Sarah becomes Daniel.
You know.
But aside.
Right, exactly right. That's exactly right. So why did she do it? I'm asking the question. We'll leave it open. You guys think about
she
it.
She wanted the status to be a high level or something.
Why would she want that?
Because of the child.
Well, I don't know. No. Well, for the child. Vayavol Hagar vatahar. So Abraham lived with Hagar, and she became pregnant. Vatera ki harata. And she saw that she had become pregnant. Who saw that? Who had become pregnant?
Sarah saw that.
Well,
let's finish the sentence.
Let's finish the sentence. Vatekel gevirta be'eneha. And she, her mistress became light, became insignificant or lesser in her eyes. So who's the subject? Hagar. Interesting to note. Right, without telling us, the subject of this all of a sudden switched. Right? Mm-hmm. Without telling us. First, let's go back to the last pasuk. Vatiteinu tala Abraham isha lo leisha. Who's doing all the action?
Sarah.
Now all of a sudden, vayavol Hagar, vatahar. Who became pregnant, and she became pregnant, Hagar. And now Vatera Ki Harata is talking about Hagar. All of a sudden the focus switches to Hagar without telling us. Okay. Next question. Vatomer el Sarai el Avram. Sarai says to Avram, Chamasi Alecha. My wrath is upon you. Anochi natati shivchati b'techecha. I gave my maidservant in your chik, in your lap. Vatera ki harata. All of a sudden she sees she becomes pregnant. Vaikal be'eneha. And I have become light in her eyes. Yishpot Hashem be'ni u'be'necha. God should judge between you and me. Okay, now all of a sudden, I'll be Abraham here, okay? Right?
What did I do wrong?
What?
He did not use the woman translator.
Maybe she what? Did it to she tell the woman translator.
He didn't use the woman translator?
Maybe she did that. Maybe she gave Hagar as an isha to Abraham to see how Abraham would react. And to challenge him to say, Abraham's reaction to say, you know what?
We're calling this year defending Sarai, not accusing Sarai of ridiculous.
I'm not accusing her. Maybe she wanted to see his reaction to assess exactly how he would respond.
Do you love me?
Then Abraham.
Do I what? Isn't that like a feather thing?
Waiting to see that Abraham would say to her,
no.
I will take her, but not as a wife, as a whatever. Because she was feeling very vulnerable. She was at a very low ebb, and she needed that reassurance from him.
Does that make you feel better about Sarah Imenu?
Yes,
it does. I know. Sorry. Anybody want to help me out here? No.
There's no way back. She's a
wife.
She's a
What is she saying?
What is she? Let's go back a second. What is she angry? What is she angry about? There's a lot to be angry about.
For him not stopping her.
So it's going to be for him not preventing Hagar from belittling her, or not preventing Hagar from defending her honor. That's one. Anything else? It's not about that. What? Wow, it's about the pregnancy. So what she's upset, she's angry about, then, if you're right?
How could you get her pregnant, not me?
Because she's the one who's struggling to fulfill.
She's the one that suggested it.
Obviously not.
How could she be angry? What?
Because they worked on Hagar, if that didn't work on her.
What do you mean? No. Let's keep it...
pregnant,
okay.
Wasn't able to make her pregnant.
She's the one who's there, not the one who got.
That's why she's so upset.
Hey, Abraham?
She's angry
she's jealous and she's upset with herself and she's projecting it.
Second,
of course. Wait, a second. We're now in the very sensitive realm of, and I think rightly so, on the one hand, reverence, and on the other hand, trying to understand. So let's try to understand with a sense of reverence. I don't want to believe that Sarai was shrill and not reasonable.
She was a womp. We're not talking about a perfect upset person.
She's not the pregnant one.
No.
Nobody liked that comment. No, it didn't go anywhere. Anyway.
You're making her out to be a perfect person.
Yes.
She wasn't. She lost. She made mistakes.
Not perfect. They are human. And sometimes they make mistakes. She thought that she could give her girl to Abraham to be in that position mm-hmm. of wife and mother of the nations and blah, 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 without feeling bad about it herself.
Oh.
And she made mistakes.
What's she upset?
Now she's blaming him.
She's upset.
No, 1 second. I want to know what she's upset about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Meaning,
her from doing it. That's what
no,
I said.
No, not because she put him at her test.
Wait a second. Is she upset? Let's clarify. Is she upset because he didn't defend her honor after Hagar became pregnant? Is she upset? One at a time. Is she upset because Abraham didn't defend her honor after Hagar became pregnant? Is she upset that Abraham agreed to the whole thing in the first place?
Yes.
There's a third one. I don't remember. What's the third one, Rina?
Both.
Agree to the thing in the first place?
But it does.
Or the third one was, is she upset that she never got pregnant at all?
It rubs her face in it that she hates all the
above.
What? Well, why didn't she then come to him beforehand? The other example, obviously, the classic example that we have to compare this to is who's the classic example we have to compare this to later on? Rachel. What does Rachel come and say to Yaakov? She says, what the heck? How come I'm not getting pregnant? How about the Ibanim? Give me children. Give me children. And Yaakov says, who am I? I'm not God. You know, and actually, many Chazal fault Yaakov for saying that, for reacting to her in that way. Like, wouldn't it have been reasonable instead, if you're so upset, to go to Abraham and say, give me children? Isn't that fair to say, you get children, I want children, I want to be that person?
But isn't that reasonable to think that they had that conversation during this set out
Would the Torah not have recorded if she had had that conversation?
Exactly.
We have to read, those of you who have it, I have to read the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, even though I don't understand all of the Aramaic. If you look at Pasuk Hay, right? If you ever want to know which Targum to read carefully, if you have Targum, see Pasuk Hay? Right, see Pasuk Vav, nice and short. Pasuk Zayin, nice and short. See Pasuk Hey?
It's the Midrash.
It's like an essay. It's not in my Midrash. I couldn't find the Midrash. In the Midrash Rabbah? Yeah, please. The Amaret Sarai La Avram. Okay. Right, Sarai said to Avram, Kol Ubani Minach. My embarrassment. The Midrash Rabbah? I don't know. It's somewhere in the house. My shame is from you. To have a rechitza de te'eva dini. I wanted you to me'eva dini. To bring my din before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. De anash shavkit ara ubeit abba va'alit imach. It's going back. She says, I left my home. I left my family. I made aliyah with you. La'ara nuchreta. To some strange land. Uchadon began to lo havina yalda chararet imati v'yavita lemishko v'itfach. Okay, now I can't have children. I took my maidservant and gave him to you. V'chamat arum aveirat v'yizbacht v'yitbaz ikri b'apanha. Okay. V'chamat, I'm angry, arum, because avirat, she transgressed, v'yitbaz ikri b'anpa. Okay, and she embarrassed me, she shamed me before you. And before me, my shame should be revealed before me, before God. And it should cause peace between you and me. I want the land to be full from us. I don't want you to have children from Hagar, the son of Mitzrayim, who's the grandson of Nimrod, the Talkach la'atuna denura, who threw you into the fire. Says the Midrash, it's like all coming out. You know, what's she upset about? Like in the Targum Yerushalmi, which I could read for you, she also mentions, also, if you have a Targum Yerushalmi, you guys haven't? Okay. Same thing. I left my land. Hey, Avram, it's not just you that was lech lecha. I did it too. But God said to you, what about me? We had, we had a belief. We had faith. Ayat imach kadam paro malka de Mitzrayim. Remember, I went with you before Paro. Ve'kadam Abimelech malka de Plishtai. And I went with you before Abimelech. And remember what happened when we went down there? Remember what happened? Ve'amrat alach achihu. And I said, yeah, that's my brother. I lied for you. I saved your life. Ve'glad de lo yiftelun yatach. So they wouldn't kill you. Ukedat. And now, Chamit Elohavina Ma'abra, Nisibit Hagar Mitzraya Amati. So because I'm not pregnant, you married Hagar. V'yavid Yatach Le'intu. V'amit Hi Talid. V'ana Arebi Ma'di Yalda De'idmani L'chod Mina. And I'm angry because it's embarrassing, etc., etc., etc. So like, if you look at the, is it say in the Midrash? Does it come out the way? I couldn't find it. What? I actually looked in the Me'am Lois. I thought I would find it too. But in the Targum, it's like really, really strong. I left too. I sacrificed too. We were supposed to do this together. And I know I gave you Hagar. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to be the mother of these children. I didn't want some Egyptian woman to be the mother of the children. I didn't want her to be the progenitor of the future generations. What about my sacrifice? And now it's embarrassing me. It's embarrassing in and of itself. Yeah.
Unrestrained chesed is not a positive thing anymore. That she was initially, up to the point that she gave over Hagar, she was thinking she was doing chesed. But somewhere along the way, she sacrificed herself. And when she did that, then she became resentful. And then all the chesed that she did,
which
was nullified because...
It's a very powerful message, I agree with you. I think it's a very... If you look at the message of this midrash, or the message, if you take that midrash the way it articulates her feelings, it's definitely true. That there's a very fine line between giving and self-sacrifice, and at the point that the giving becomes self-sacrifice, then it becomes destructive because you're sacrificing yourself. And you know, on the other hand, though, you could take it another way and say, maybe this is, if this was really the way it was supposed to be, okay, then instead of lashing out at Avram, what should she have done? No, I shouldn't lash out. Why should I need to lash out? Come to Avram and say, this is not okay. We have to fix this. You know what I'm saying? This isn't what I had in mind. You know what I'm saying? Like her actions were in the right place.
But I think if you get to the point that you completely sacrifice yourself on the altar of chesed, then what you're left with is resentment, and resentment is not...
Isn't resentment, one could say, isn't resentment our choice? Isn't resentment up to us? Yes, we can understand. We can understand.
She didn't stop herself from getting to that, but she didn't.
You're saying that there's no point beyond which, meaning you're, I mean, the problem is, yes, whether her feelings were justified or not, does that make allowable her anger at Abraham?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
before you get to that point.
Yes. When you're giving and giving and giving and giving, there've got to be boundaries and there've got to be sort of self checks. That am I losing myself along the way? Because at the point that you've lost yourself, it gets replaced by a resentment and a bitterness that at that point you maybe don't have that control over anymore.
Very good. And let's take it the next step. And then it becomes you're in a destructive state,
yes,
which can cause damage as opposed to goodness.
Yes, because you've undermined your self-esteem to that extent. That's what you're left with. Mm. And I think she is right in being upset with Abraham, is that he is the more objective party. Should it be the one to put the stuff... And said, enough.
seems so out to lunch. Like she's
who's out to lunch?
Avram. Like she's all.
Excuse me. Like let's like the man's perspective. What do you want from him? He did, she suggested it.
Sorry.
He did it.
No,
she gave it a wife.
He has everything. No response in the text. Yeah.
What?
He never responds in the text.
He does.
Yeah.
Next pasuk.
At the end, when it's all over.
What do you mean he never responds?
It's a done deal.
Wait, let's look, it goes even farther than that. I want to hold on, I want to focus, one second, I want to focus on, by the way, the destructive, what you say is being destructive. Look at Rashi on, Anochi natati shivchatech, okay? Actually, by the way, let's look back at the other Rashi. Chamasi alecha, Rashi on hey. Rashi is powerful. Chamasi alecha, why am I angry at you? So Rashi picks up on this. Chamasi alecha, chamas ta'asui li. Alecha ani meitil ha'onesh. It's your fault. I place the blame on you. Because
she's talking about it.
It's from before. From before. Why didn't I have a child? But why didn't she say this before she gave Hagar? Chamasi alecha. She says, "Kishit valalta la kadosh baruch hu." When you said to God, "Mati tein li vanuchi alecha ribi," right? Right. What will you give me? Abraham, God said, Abraham, what's the matter? Like everything's good. You beat the wars. Everything's wonderful. And Abraham says, "Yeah, but I don't have any children." She says, "Lo hitpalalta ela alecha." What the heck? You, yes, you asked for children. You should have prayed for both of us. And then I would have had children together with you. Because God somehow made it able, you able to have children. How come I can't have children? He can do anything he wants. Number 2 in place of number 1 or in addition to? Okay. Moreover, you're listening to Hagar, and you know what I'm saying? Because the first thing, it seems...
And you're not saying anything.
I don't know, it's so interesting.
You're not putting her...
Did she expect, when he said, when Sarai said, you know, I'm not having children, take Hagar. Did she expect him to say, no, we can do this?
Yeah.
That is what you said. That's not fair! What do you want? We're mind readers? You know what I'm saying? We're solution-oriented people. You have a solution? That's great. When our mind readers, I feel like we should back on Mars and Venus. You know what I'm saying? What?
Rashi seems to say
that even he could have gone either way. He had this partnership with Sarai. It's not, it doesn't seem like he had other concubines or mistresses during the time they were married.
Unclear. It doesn't seem that way, right?
They seem to have had a good relationship.
And by the way, one second. Let's point out that is unbelievably unusual.
Right. No, I realize that.
Right, but you know, his situation is, you don't have children. But everyone would look at him like, Aram, come on, really, what are you
but
doing?
But that's also why was he working with the team, there was such a close team the whole way through.
What's that?
Avram and Salam, there was such a close team the whole way
yes.
through. That's what makes it possible that he would have said, no, we're going to do this together and not taken Hagar. Okay?
Who's got the Hirsch? Do you have Hirsch?
But that's possible. Yeah. But the fact that he didn't, afterwards also, once that situation happened and Hagar was there and had the pregnancy, that he didn't do something to defend Sarai.
Go back to the beginning of the section.
Because they had been the team the whole way through. He must have seen what was going on between
them. Hirsch refers to this idea of the closeness between them. Do you see what I'm talking about? On Ibaneh, Eli, he focuses on... can you read... You see what part I'm referring to? Yeah. At the very beginning.
You can well understand how this condition must have hurt Sarah most deeply. He's talking about her impersonally. For she was not, as this verse seems specially stressed, Ishad Avram, Avram's true wife in every way, taking part in every phase of his life, following him and joining him in the whole transmission of his life.
This is what you're talking about, right?
Because she doesn't have children.
Right.
He's facing it on this.
If it was a great act on Avram's part to tear himself away from his home and relations, it was a no lesser one for Sarah. Mm-hmm. Avram did it for God's sake, Sarah for Avram's, and together they achieved the highest accomplishment, Et HaNefesh Asher Subachara.
Right.
But the one thing which he could have expected from his wife, which every husband expects, but which with Avram was doubly important on account of his mission to the world to have children, that was denied to him. Now she had a slave girl who was primarily her slave. She was not Shivchat Avraham, but Shivchat Sarai, and she said to Avram, Hini na Asherani.
He focuses on the na. Right, please, and she says, "Take him." Wait, 1 second. What did she say? Okay, bona el shivchati. Meaning, why does she have to say please? Not now. Why please? He doesn't want it. She's the one that comes to him. He says, "Is that that's what he says?" He says it, right?
Yeah, Avram was against it. This is evident from the na. Sarah was only thinking of him, but knew that he would not do it for his own sake. So she says, Ulai Ibaneh, perhaps through that I will become built on.
Right, meaning the things that she says are things that clearly are meant to convince him. Ibaneh. He's like, no, we'll do it together. She's like, don't worry, that'll be my child too. And then immediately afterwards, when it happens, it all fell apart. What?
Why did she give her as an Isha?
Why did she give her as an Isha? That's the question. Why did she give her as an Isha? Okay, so that's Rashi. Remember Rashi and Rani. We'll continue in the Rashi.
Without that element, the whole story makes sense.
Without that element.
And the whole story makes sense.
Well, Rav Hirsch says that
has a completely different take on it.
She wanted a child.
Pure relationship, that it shouldn't be, that it was a proper, that it shouldn't be.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit, right? Okay, so look at second Rashi. Anuchi natati shivchati, yishma shem b'ini u b'inecha. B'inecha. Okay. Kol b'inecha b'mikra chaser. B'inecha. Without, see, chaser means b'inecha bet yud nun chaf. And here it says bet yud nun yud chaf. Okay. Kri b'i u b'inecha. Between me and you. Sheichnisa ayin hara b'ibura shel hagar. She looked negatively. She had an ayin hara, v'hipila ubra. She caused her to miscarry. Meaning, yishpat Hashem b'ni u'b'necha, I'm putting a stop to this. She put an ayin hara, she looked negatively. Remember, we had a shir once on ayin hara, right? She put an ayin hara on the child, on the baby, and Hagar miscarried. So we're back to square one. And that's who, Rashi says, Shamalach omer lahagar, the malach comes back to Hagar and says, hinach hara. Remember, we're going to see in a second, Hagar runs away. And the angel comes and says, you're pregnant. Hinach hara. I knew that. Like, that's nothing new. No. She lost the child. And now she's a wife who's scorned by her maidservant with no child. That's why she runs away. So the malach comes and says, no, you become pregnant again. Hinach hara. V'yolad et ben. V'hum b'vaser lashe tahari. The malach later on is telling her that she had a baby. El melameh shehipila harayon harishon. That she caused the harayon. I mean, according to the Midrash, right, Sarai said, not only she was angry at him, she put an ayin hara on him, and she caused the first miscarriage, which only makes that, Yishmael even more interesting.
What's wrong with Hagar?
How's that for crazy Rashi? You never saw that Rashi before, right?
That means that Avraham was with Hagar again.
Of course, she's his wife. She's his wife. It wasn't a one-shot deal. It's not one of these, Ruth Hamovia. She's his wife. You can't undo that. Divorce her? She's his wife.
There are wives of people don't.
I don't know. Okay. What did Abraham say?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're
stuck on the Rashi?
I understand what it means. Asila hatov.
We're not there yet. I didn't read that pasuk yet. Vayomer Abraham el Sarai. So Abraham says to Sarai. Next pasuk. Yeah, I was on pasuk K. Now I'm above. Vayomer Abraham el Sarai. Hine shifchatech biyatech. Asila hatov be'einayich. Here is your shifcha. Do whatever you want. Vate'aneha Sarai. And Sarai, Inui, Te'aneha, afflicted her. Vativrach mipaneha. So she ran away. You want to say something?
She doesn't look good.
She doesn't look good. No, you say you told me Abraham has no response.
I don't think that that's a response.
What do you want him to say?
He's not, you're calling the Shir defending Sarai. He's not defending Sarai. He has no interaction with
Hagar. I'm trying to defend Sarai.
He has no he doesn't defend Sarai. He has no interaction with Hagar that's recorded about it. I mean, if her anger towards him is the way Hagar's treating her, then he needs to make that right with Hagar, which he doesn't, and Parshanim bring him to task for that.
Wait a second. His response is, I'm not the
you
one who...
You take care of it,
no,
by
No.
Yes.
Now you take care of it, by B'Shazachin. I don't agree with you.
Shifchatech
biyadech. She is your shifcha.
She's my wife.
No. Really? After you read it?
No, you're going to take care of it.
Meaning, I read it, the way I read it, he gives her
I'm not going to talk to her about.
He gives the power. It's in your hands. Meaning, why aren't you taking? Why are you taking this?
It says himself of any responsibility.
Wow, I didn't mean this to be an attack, Avram. No. I look at it.
Look at the person.
Can I ask you a technical question? Who confers status?
All right, one second. It says Vatekel Gvirta.
Originally, she started off as Sarah Shifcha.
Right.
Then Sarah conferred the status of her as Ishmael.
Isha, and correct. Then she's still reconfiguring a Shifra.
Right.
How can she be an Isha and a Shifra?
Read from
how
that.
How can she be both?
Is it too long to read quickly?
No, it's okay. Really not.
No, a second. That's all right, not Avram.
No, keep reading.
Not Avram.
Okay, let me read it for you.
Wait.
Kat'ah.
1 second.
Yineinu b'inoy hazeh.
Right.
V'gam Avraham b'hanicho la'asod ken.
B'hanicha la'asod ken.
Okay.
No, Avram's sin is not that. Wait, it's just Avram's sin. First he says, Ramban says, Sarai sinned.
He didn't prevent her from sinning.
Yeah, Sarai sinned from, meaning her reaction, her response.
Right, he doesn't
and his sin was stepping in what?
To take care of
No. Yes, that's not what Ramban is saying. What is Ramban saying? What is Ramban saying?
Hold on.
Begam Abraham behani chola asot ken. Abraham's sin is that he let Sarai afflict Hagar.
He can't have a cause why.
I know what you're saying. Keep going.
I know. V'natan Hashem, and V'natan v'shama Hashem el anya. V'natan la ben, she a para Adam.
It's because of
because she hand. Suffered, Ramban says, because she suffered
that's why
at Sarai's hands.
Oh, okay.
And Abraham let her do it. But it's not Abraham.
No,
Abraham's not responsible because of Sarai, because of Hagar. No. Abraham's responsible for letting Sarai afflict Hagar.
Right, for not taking care, not taking control. V'natan
la ben, she a para Adam, la anot zera Abraham b'sara b'chol minei ha'inuri. We suffer at the hands of Ishmael. There are Qassam rockets landing in the Eshkelon Regional Council yesterday because Sarai afflicted Hagar.
And that Inui is control.
Wow.
But he caused it.
Heavy stuff. But Ramban is very big into Maaseh Avosim on the
Banner. Ramban is
very
also
big into the things
big.
That happened before are a symbol. What?
Wow.
Big mistake. Yeah. It's not like a little mistake. This is a big mistake. Like, your children and your descendants will pay for that.
Option.
What?
And he knew that she was vulnerable and was painful and upset. No. And he still gave her.
Give Abraham a break. I mean, really. You know, like,
Ramban is also, you're saying he's very into Maaseh Avosim on the Banim. He's also very into women being hysterical.
Wait a second. Where do you get that from? Very
read him. You talk about Rachel. Go read him on Rachel.
Okay. Ramban is not afraid. Wait a second. Ramban is not afraid to say that Abraham sinned. As opposed to many other mafarshim, Ramban is also not afraid to put it in Abraham.
100%.
For example,
yes.
When? And a good example, that when Abraham went to Mitzrayim, Ramban says, Abraham should have had Emunah and stayed in Eretz Yisrael. That's Canaan. When there was a famine, he should have stayed.
And he also shouldn't have
okay, and that Maaseh Avotzi was Maaseh Avotzi Man Lebanim. You went to Mitzrayim, your children will also
Abraham
go to Mitzrayim.
Didn't take control of the situation.
Correct.
And Abraham didn't act rationally. The situation needed a rational response.
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Abraham didn't act rationally. I think he said Abraham didn't take control and prevent Sarai from afflicting Hagar.
I don't think he acted irrationally. I mean, he chose not to act.
He chose not to intervene.
Wait a second.
Really? You're the one. Like, what do you want from him? You're the one who gave me this woman. I didn't denigrate her in your eyes. She denigrates you. If you don't like how she's talking to you, take care of it. What do you want me to do? Oh, come on. No. Now we're over the line. We crossed the red line of reverence. You still have to have reverence for Abraham Avinu. Even if you say that he could have prevented it.
He can't have a false wife.
What's both ways? What is he having?
He can't say, I'll take her as my wife and make her pregnant. And then because Sarah's upset, he says to Sarah, I'll just do what
it is. It's like he's upset and learned. Where was that?
So what should he have said? He should have said, he should have said, Sarai, she's my wife. That's what he should have said. Who says that? Who agrees with that? That's what Ramban says. That's what Ramban says. Ramban says,
she's your slave.
Right. So you're saying that's the sin. So he's saying it's a sin of Sarai and a sin of Avram. It's a sin of Sarai that she afflicted him. She responded inappropriately. And a sin of Avram to not say, she's my wife. What do you want? She's bearing my child.
Yeah.
You have to stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where she was wrong was that she carried on treating Hagar as a maidservant, and she didn't treat her as a wife of Abraham.
Well, exactly, but why did she do that? But why did she do that?
That's what
Abraham told her to do.
Right, but Hagar took it as an insult. It's not that Sarai.
I think Rina's right.
Received it inappropriately.
I think Rina's right. It all starts from that one word. Batiten otal Abraham isha lo leisha. She gave as a wife.
But
Why did she do that? Why did she do that?
Like she said, she's trying to be on a high level.
She said that he wasn't being duraced into tagging her.
That's what she wanted. She asked. The isha. I'm saying the problem isn't that he gave her. The problem is he gave her as a wife. As a wife, as a status. She conferred on status.
The problem is that he took her.
Like, you're not being, I don't think, you know, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and by the way, how did she afflict her? So it's unclear. By the way. What?
Goes from one end to the other.
Yeah, one second. How did she afflict her? What?
She made her carry,
The Midrash says a bunch of things.
She made her carry the buckets with holes in them or something.
Midrash says, Mahu Ainui. Let's come back. Mahu Ainui, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar, Minna Atami Tashmish Amita. One Midrash says that she took away her conjugal privileges with Abraham. That's Inui. Well, another says, Rabbi Yochai Amar, Tafachta Bekor De Kaison Al Paneha.
She whipped her with her sandals.
She whipped her and she hit her face, she hit her in the face with her shoes. She beat her. That's the second one.
She was pregnant when you smack a child, like when a parent smacks a child.
Rabbi Berechia B'Shem Rabbi Abba Kahana, Delayin V'Kandiyo Tolicha L'Lamercha. She made her schlep stuff to the bathhouse. Okay, by the way, I will just tell you, treating someone as a maidservant, if you know, like, look at the ancient cultures, how do they treat their maids? This was not unusual, to beat the maid. Right, to beat the maid, or, you know what I'm saying?
No, but I think the emphasis on
this
the
is
face.
Torah.
What?
When you smack somebody on the face, it's like you're smacking Hashem.
No, I don't, you know.
That's according to Rabbanit Mizrahi. That's for whatever it takes.
Right, that's you shouldn't beat your children. Right, you shouldn't
slap your children. She's saying don't hit them on the face, specifically the face.
So Rabbanit Mizrahi is in favor of beating your children?
Not just not beating on the face? Them. There's an appropriate use. Of a patch or whatever.
That's what she said?
She's talked about that. She's just talked about not just specifically not doing it on the face.
Interesting. Okay.
On but the face. It goes into the street the
and they're going to die.
Right. It is true that Al-Paneh, the Midrash points out Al-Paneh, it is an embarrassment, but I don't think it was unusual. Meaning it was
but
common.
This is Sarah.
It was common.
This is Sarah. How could you say she's doing these things?
What's that? I have to do another Midrash. The Midrash says the following. Sarai said, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Right? God will judge between me and you. Okay? Milamed. Okay, but someone's saying one second. Shesara imenu omeret. Sarah says, Tachzor hagar de shivchuta. I want her to go back to being a shivcha. But Abraham, Rabino, haya omer. And Abraham said, La'achar shasinu otah gvira, anu ochozvinu meshabdin. We can't do it. Otah chilo shem shamayim bedavar. It's a chilo Hashem. This is what the Midrash says. She says, oh, I don't like that she's an Isha. I want her to be back to a Shukha. Abraham says, you can't do it. Im Kain, so he says, Abraham says, that's a Chil Hashem. You can't do a Chil Hashem. So Sarah says, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. And that's why Hashem comes into it. If it's a Chil Hashem, let Hashem decide. Okay? Says the Midrash, one second. Rabbi Tamkin Omer, Kol mi shehirtik achar midat hadin, lo yetei shafui mitachat yadeha. Don't ask for midat hadin. It's not a good idea to say, God will judge. Kadosh Baruch Hu will judge us. Okay? Because, he says interestingly, Ru'uya haita Sarah lehagil leshamel shel Abraham. Sarah should have lived as long as Abraham did. Va'ayidei she'amra yishpot Hashem b'ni u'meinecha. And because she said, God should judge us, nimnu mechayea memchet shana. She lost 48 years of her life. She really should have lived 175, but instead she only made it to 127. Don't ask for din. Nobody, and I think this is good advice. Never ask for din. Because, you know, when you ask for din, you get what you ask for. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's just interesting that if you look in the text, that it keeps, it defines who they are. Like, it keeps saying, it says, Eshet Sarah. Sarai Eshet Avram. And then it goes on.
Where are you? The first one, right?
The first one. And then when you look and she says, Lishta. And then right after this whole thing, it says, No. But I'm talking about the narrative. Like the narrative says, "Vayomer Hagar Shivchat Sarai."
Where are you?
Right on Chet. It returns her back to the Shivcha status.
Uh-huh.
Right, and so I think sort of maybe all this affliction that we're talking about took her from the status of Shivcha to Isha.
And then she brought
her back to Shivcha by whatever affliction she did, because that wasn't
correct.
That was common as a Shivcha. But I think that the text is supporting that by saying. By Sangus. It could say by Yomer Hagar.
Oh, very nice. Right? Very nice. Let's read it. Very good.
Could be superfluous otherwise, but I think it's supports.
Pasuk Zayin, let's read it. By Yimza Malach Hashem, she ran away. By Yimza Malach Hashem, Al Ein Hamayim by Midbar. She's like hanging out at the well in the Midbar. Al Ha'ayim Baderach Shur. right? On the, she's sitting at the well. She has nowhere to go. She just ran away. So she's kind of like flustered. Vayomer vayomar. And he said, Hagar shivchat sarai. Amy zebat va'anate lechi. So that's what she was pointing out. He calls her shivcha sarai.
Right?
You're shivchat sarai. Where are you going? Vatomer bibnei sarai gvirti anochi borachat. I am running away from Sarai Gevirti, from my maidservant. But what's interesting is,
my mistress,
thank you. If she's really your mistress, why are you running away? If she's your mistress, then she's right. No, she has a right to treat you in a denigrating manner. So why'd she run away?
She doesn't
want to
be
treated like that. Okay. Vayomer la malach Hashem, shuvi el gvirtech, go back to your mistress. Vehit ani tachak yadeha, and be afflicted by her hand. Very strange. Vayomer la malach Hashem, harba arba et zareich, velo yisafer meub. You have many, many children, uncountable. Vayomer la malach Hashem, hinach hara, veyoladet men, hinach hara, behold, you have become pregnant. That's the midrash. You will become? The karat shemo Yishmael, ki shama Hashem el onyech. You will call him, you shall call him Yishmael, because Hashem has heard your affliction. Suffering is in and of itself a zchut. Suffering in and of itself brings merit.
He keeps saying, Bayomer lama lach Hashem.
Yes, he's like this conversation. Right.
He keeps either conversation or she won't go, and so he's giving her bigger and bigger incentives to go.
Yeah, it is stilted. Like, she doesn't come back. He keeps saying, Vayomer. Why would he? You mean in order to convince her to go? She's like, I'm not going back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah.
Why
yeah,
one second.
Why? Ishmael's part of the plan.
Right. That's obvious. It's obvious. Ishmael is part of the plan. It's not just, meaning, let's say, according to the Midrash, I think the Midrash's point is saying that she miscarried and now had another child. If you could reset, it's reset, everything's fine, this problem solved. But the idea was that there was supposed to be a Yishmael. There was supposed to be a Yishmael and a Yitzchak. And then it was supposed to be Kibi Yitzchak Yikare Lechazera. That Abraham was Av Hamon Goyim. Abraham was not meant to only be Av to Am Yisrael. Abraham is Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim. Amongst which some of his children would then become the Am HaNivchak. It wasn't only supposed to be one child, right? That came later. Not even Yitzchak was supposed to be that way. Yaakov was the one who all of his children became Am HaNivchar. But for whatever reason, this was meant to be. This was part of the plan. And for that reason, the Malach sends her back. Go back. You will have children.
Meant to be this conflict forever.
Not necessarily conflict. There are meant to be multiple nations. Not necessarily conflict.
Ah, one second. Yeah, well, it's not a question of come out differently or not come out differently. Did it have to be born in conflict?
Yeah.
Ishmael would be Ishmael, right? But did there have to be animosity between Ishmael and Yitzchak? Did it have to start with Inui? Or could it have been in such a way, because remember, we've covered this before, at the end, Ishmael and Yitzchak reconcile. But there is a certain reconciliation. We see when they bury the father together, and Rashi says that we learned that Ishmael, you know, Chazar b'tshuvah, very nice. There is a certain sense of reconciliation. Everybody has a different mission. But does it have to be a sense of the sense of animosity, or can it be...
Are we going to reconcile with them at the end?
Of course we're going to reconcile with them at the end. How are we going to reconcile?
Killing them?
No, Chaz v'shalom.
Bring Ishmael back.
Yitzchak and Ishmael bury Avram when Avram dies together. Yachdav, it says. They acted as brothers. Yeah, but sometimes it's like, it is true if you think about it. Like, the religion that we're closest to, that we most agree with, is Islam. In its purest sense, they believe in the one true God. The idea of Allah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. Islam is not Avodah Zarah. It's not. And yet, like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, somehow, the ones you're closest to are the ones that you fight with the most. You know, but we have no, we're trying to achieve the same thing, in a sense.
The Crusaders weren't exactly tradition.
The Crusaders were?
Not
Christian,
but they weren't
Tzaddikim either. No, right. Them we don't get along with. That's exactly the point. Esav, Sonei et Yisrael. Esav, Sonei et Yaakov. There's no mitzvah of Yishmael, Sonei et Yaakov. There's no such thing. It's not supposed to be that way, yeah.
Trying to reconcile the Sarah that we're supposed to revere with this Sarah that we're seeing here, that's beating her, this woman that she gave to her husband.
I'm thinking of it in modern times as opposed to the way I used to be, being ethnocentric and saying this is how we treat people today when there was a hierarchy.
There was a hierarchy. It was not unusual. Especially, one second, if you are made, acted out of place and she acted out of, you know, she acted insolently, it was not her place. Remember, there was a sense of reverence for the mistress of the house. Go back to think about this old like ancient Chinese. Watch a movie about ancient China. How they, you know what I'm saying? This isn't even downtown Abbey. No, you know what I'm saying? It's much, much more hierarchical than that. All right, let's just finish the
paragraph. Said it was wrong.
Vatikra, he does say it's wrong. Vatikra Shem Hashem Adaber. So what? I mean,
the one who said they weren't perfect.
Is it a problem? Right? Is it a problem? There you go.
She wasn't perfect. This is really bad.
If everybody focused on everything that we did.
What?
I'm just skipping to Tetva. We have to finish the parak. Vatelid Hagar la Abraham ben. She had a child. She had a son. Vayikra Avram Shem Beno Asher Nola Yalda Hagar Yishmael. Avram called him Yishmael. So it's interesting to note that the Mefarshim point out the Malach said, "You will call him Yishmael," and Avram also called him Yishmael. So the Mefarshim bring up two possibilities. One, she told him. She said, I was at this well, and I had this prophecy. Or the other thing is that Abraham had Hashrat HaShchina, that it was God's divine will that this be Yishmael. And this is only proof of that, that there had to be a Yishmael. That here, the Malach came and said, he will call Yishmael, and lo and behold, what name does Abraham pick?
Yishmael.
He calls him Yishmael. He picks it out of a hat. It's not like, you know, there wasn't, like, you know, the grandfather's name was not Chaim Yankel, and it was obvious. You know, he made up this name, Yishmael, which implies that Yishmael was supposed to be part of God's divine plan. That he was supposed to be part of the generation. Which makes it interesting. What?
Is this where we get it from? The naming thing? That it's from Hashem?
No, Yishmael was named. Which just it leaves us with a very interesting notion that there is a divine plan in place. That there are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen. But we have an effect on how they happen. We can make them happen in one way, or our actions can make them happen in a very different way. And that the role of history unfolding, it is on the one hand in the hand of God, but on the other hand in our hands as well. That there's a sort of dual role. That, you know, each person plays his role, but the way that we play our role is critically important because it has direct influence on the outcome. Did we defend Sarai? I just want to point out, the Hamik Dabra says, you got it all wrong. Sarai was acting out of Shem Hashem. It was a bizarre one to Abraham the way she was acting. So understand that there are Chazal that try to see her in the sense of Sarah Imenu as well. I won't read it for you, but it was all really out of a sense of Shem Shemayim, that you know, and just understand that Ramban's commentary and his willingness to criticize Avram and Sarai was, in his time, very controversial. Who are you to criticize Sarah Imenu? And our willingness to do this, I feel sometimes, like I said, it does go beyond. There has to be a sense of respect and reverence for Sarah. I don't think that we have to be so reverential as to think that they were above mistakes. They weren't about mistakes, they were human, but at the same time, she was a person who was devoted to Abraham's mission. And maybe she saw that this Hagar, if she gets too prominent, that will be counterproductive for Abraham's mission, which it was in the end. The irony was, her negativity and her lashing out and her anger at Sarai became a self-fulfilling prophecy that made that negativity happen.
It could have been driven by Sarai's actions.
Yeah, could have been driven by it in the end. That she became her own worst enemy, which is all of us. All right, we'll stop here.